This is the Echo Network. The Wildland Report.
We are a sponsor now.
Holly's West Warden with Jeff Carter.
From the Dr. Baseball Guy.
Michael Langle.
They call themselves the Kings of Hoffman.
Chris Campbell, who's the producer of the Fire Stadium.
And Troy Olson. And now, the Wildland Report.
My contract, you know,
or is me to read the bottom.
center, I guess, and then Mike Engel next to him. Because I figured that way, if they threw punches at me, they could hit each other easier. And I don't know how to do that. I mean, I'm just being sarcastic. But, no, it was cool. And Craig did take it well. We had our four very nice PSA Prez shirts that were provided to us by, of course, Mr. Kohler. And Craig did not, and he was not happy that he missed the memo that there was a uniform. And then we stuck it behind the banner, which I asked him about it beforehand. If we'd already done it, like, hey, we have our banner crest. Was that cool? He's like, sure. So I think they all really well, whatever. I mean, what's he did? You know, I mean, it's easy to say, okay, he's from a different royal site. No, he's maybe going to take offense at that, but it really,
we're all friends here.
We all exist because there are people who won't read our stuff, and a lot of the people that have found Kings of Kaufman were referred by Royals Authority or Royals Review, and, you know, I'm sure there are a lot of people that end up there by things that we've linked on Kings of Kaufman or, you know, retweets from Twitter or whatnot. So, I mean, in the end, I mean, it's like I keep saying over and over, Bill Ivey, who's looking at me next weekend,
he runs
I-70. Yeah, let me grab that. He's the head of I-70 baseball, and he said once that the great thing about blogs is it's not like a magazine you get at a grocery store. Yeah. You can go to every blog, and they're all essentially free with the exceptions of, like, baseball perspectives, whatever. But that's a little different. But as far as the most blogs go, I don't think there's one that charges.
Nope.
And you just grab and go, and you can take in as much or as little information as you want. And it's just like podcasts. You know, there's this is the only Royals podcast right now, but Pioneer Press is starting one. And does that upset me? Not at all.
No.
Because they have a totally different view than we do.
Yeah, they have a different focus, and we have our thing. And there it is. There's room for everybody. And so there's no real reason to be upset in any way. Just go to team up. Or, you know, I think there's a little bit of competition in the sense that, you know, we want to kind of push the discourse and the conversation, but not necessarily that. You know, they're not trying to put Kings of Kaufman out. We're not trying to put them out. You know, anything like that. So
it's not Walmart and Kmart. It's not Best Buy and Amazon.
Right. It's just whatever. It's just we're all here. And if Royals fans benefit, then that's what is the most important.
And it's a great game. Like, so, long story short, we had fun with Greg. And we had fun with Greg's home, which is guys. And another gym theater. Then Chris landed us some time, got a flying saucer. Good friend of the host, Mom. We had a good time. They had, I don't know if Chris can get his little sign in the camera or not, but they left some interesting signs on the table.
It's in there. There it is.
There we go. The fake Ned Yost. Not the fake
Ned.
The
fake Ned.
This section is reserved.
Yes.
Like this section is reserved. So I'm glad that's the Chris's sign of the man came now. But pretty good time there. We did a second show. So check out both of those shows. We had a lot of fun. Thanks to Orb is Lame, Chris. And Georgia, who the Lovebirds took over for Mike and I until we could
get out. Yeah, we were at the Futures game, and that was pretty fun. We had a nice, spent the first 30 minutes walking through a palm thread, so that was fun. That was a good time.
Always good. Yeah, go back and listen to the conversation with the Lovebirds. That's probably the best part of the show. So, and then Mike and I did attend the most attended Futures game in the history of Futures games.
Where do you go? What's the call?
Golf club.
Yeah. I mean, it was packed. There were so many people there, and so many people stuck around for the softball game. We didn't, because whatever.
Because we had other stuff we wanted to do. We were tired, too. We've been gone since 8:30 that
week. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was just that whole weekend was busy. And then Sunday bled into the Monday with the home run derby, which is
partly why I sound like this.
Yeah. And we can talk about that later. I don't think we have time in this exact segment to get into that. But
hey, thanks for being one of those pictures of Jenny Finch. I appreciate that.
Nice job. Thanks.
Yeah, that was the only part that I was a little upset that we didn't see her after the Saturday game, only because it's always good to see Bo Jackson play on Ozzie Smith. And Jenny Finch is sure he's on the ice.
She's sorry.
Even after popping out a kid, she still looks great.
Such an artful way of saying that, too.
This is an artful show.
Never was. But there you go.
I'm going to start now. Sunday, of course, or Monday was a home run derby. It was Bouquet. I don't really want to get into all of you guys.
I kind of am. This stuff's been building.
We'll wrap around. We'll talk about that.
Now it's an Iowa angle rant.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I like it. So stay tuned for the fourth segment.
We'll talk about Field of Passants.
Name in the movie titles.
Yeah, I saw that
for the next half hour. subject here. I love that Rainey, who was at the BT event as well, tweeted out the other day that weird baseball, which is a game of cosmetic, that was a terrible team thing. Weird baseball was trending nationally, but locally, it was still behind replace movie titles with past, and I think it was
Jeff Fast.
And it was, I just think the internet's ran by the Twitter's ran by the food.
It is. It is run by me.
It was Ryan Fever who came up with it.
Yeah.
He started at like 2 o'clock that afternoon. I was sitting there thinking, you're trying too hard, buddy, and then I got caught up in it. So
well, that's funny. I've had the opportunity to maybe amplify a handful of those before, and we had one trending nationally. I was trying to think last night which one it was, and I completely forgot. But we've got a couple trending.
It's been a weird one on Twitter. I went on more games.
Yeah,
when we got there.
I don't know
if it was trending nationally, but I got into a fight with Keith Olbermann and his troll. I didn't get into a fight. I tried to engage him in an intellectual conversation.
Right.
I had 4 tweets he blocked me. All of his trolls and lemmings came back to me. And out of that was born Evil Romance, Bizarro Romance. So look for that on a comic book shelf near you.
We're weird.
That was crazy.
Right. Well,
just nothing moral about any of us.
That's better to talk about the week of Twitter than it is the week of the Royals.
Well, right. And that's what's nice is the other game did happen. Billy Butler did get 2 at-bats. There's some rumors coming out about Ron Washington that makes you go, man, I'm really going to hate Ron Washington.
What is he on?
Sorry.
ShopAmazon.com, right?
Who doesn't?
Books, electronics, lawn darts.
Lawn darts?
Yeah. Effing lawn darts. It's all on Amazon.com. The next time you need to buy something from Amazon, just go to EchoNetwork.com instead. EKOH Network.com. Click the Amazon.com link on the right side of the page of Canvas. It takes you to the same website, Amazon.com, but it also sends us a couple of bucks when you buy something. A few bucks here, a few bucks there, and before you know it, we're rich doing this podcast from Hawaii. Actually, a few bucks could go a long way to help with the studio and all this equipment. What is this button? I have no idea. Anyway, go to EKOHnetwork.com and click on the Amazon.com link. Buy whatever you want, help yourself, help your friends at the Royal Man Report also. And now, back to the show. Yeah, I'm a famous rock star, and I'm not.
Which you brought up the point that that is exactly one tenth of a point better than Mitch Myers was when he was cut. Why don't you tell the folks what you're seeing with Hosmer and where your concerns are?
Yeah, you know, and it's sort of out of they say humor, the best jokes are based, you know, out of truth. And it was kind of a half joke to say, wow, you know, to be right at that point, everybody talked about Mitch Myers. Figured into the last 5 or 6 years, or as long as Mitch Myers has been a part of this team, and
So what's the next step? I mean, you said put him in the 7 or 8. Is that, are you ready to write him off completely now? And, you know, what you said, you know, it's his first full season. Or...
He's made some terrible swings. I mean, some of his swings at those sliders have just been just god awful. And he's him and Alex Gordon, when they are doing badly, they look really bad. They look terrible.
Yeah.
Okay, take it back to last summer World Cup. Mike Moustakas, he's hitting 170 or something after 2 months in the majors. Now he's made adjustments at this point. What do you think, from your observations, what do you think you've seen from Moustakas that he's doing differently, you know, the latter part of last year and this year? And, you know, what if you're Mike Moustakas, what do you tell Eric Hosmer?
Thank you.
as you say that that Hosmer's buying into Sizer, but you know, there's some question if he is, because if he is, then why is he reaching for this outside stuff? And so I guess the real question is, it took Gordon going down to the minor leagues and getting right before he became this great player that had a $50 million contract. I personally haven't, let me tell you this by saying, I don't think a trip to the minors.
You can't learn to hit major league pitching in the minor leagues.
But is that, but why did it work for Gordon, and is that something that maybe Oliver needs to do just to clear his head? CurtisKitchen.com. Curtis is a great source for Kansas State information if you're a K-State fan, or if you're just a Big 12 fan and you want to keep up on what's going on in K-State. And I definitely checked out Curtis at CurtisKitchen.com, and I will be checking in with you, Curtis, this offseason with the Chiefs and K-State, I'm sure. So, thank you always to you again. You have a great day, sir.
Welcome back to the Royal Man Report. I'm Chris Kandler alongside Troy Olson and Michael Engel. We are super excited to bring on to the program an author of a new book, Mark Norman. And the book is called The Hall of Nearly Great. He co-authored the book with Sky Skolkman. And basically, Mark kind of walked me through the premise of this book. It kind of features essays from different writers on nearly great authors. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, you got the whole thing with a couple other guys in it, and that's pretty much the players that history is going to remember. You know, they've got their face up on a wall, they've got their numbers retired, there are stories written about them, but it's kind of in there as far as people remembering outside of the era they played in. But, you know, there are hundreds of other players that are worth remembering. So we took it
Jason Parks, Jeff Passan, Rob Nyer, and a whole bunch of other folks. Some of these people I recognize from Twitter. Some of these people I recognize kind of just from the Bradford Doolittle is one of them. I know he writes for BP as well. Greg Calcaterra, who was the Joe Posnanski Award winner this last year. A lot of really outstanding names alongside you guys with essays about people like Lenny Dykstra, Albert Bell, Buddy Bell, Eddie Seacott, and it's really, really cool. David Cohn and Daryl Porter are two former Royals in this. And then, Mark, you actually wrote an essay on Brett Saberhagen, and it was kind of, I read it, it's a very uniquely structured because you came in on Brett Saberhagen towards the twilight of his career and kind of walked me through your thinking when you put that essay together.
Well, I feel like everyone knows Saberhagen was great in the 80s. And the thing that it seems to be forgotten about with the second half of his career is it didn't stack up against, you know, how he performed in the 80s when he was a Cy Young winner, World Series MVP, which he was considered one of the better pitchers in baseball. He's pretty much the exact same pitcher in the 90s and up through the end of his career. The only problem was, you know, he had so many arm injuries, which could have been directly linked to how much he was used back in Kansas City when he was at his best. Then he just didn't come anywhere near as much. And because there was less, you know, the chances for a Hall of Fame career kind of petered out. And I mean, I really became conscious of Brett Saberhagen while he was with the Red Sox. But it was kind of crazy to see, you know, he was so good with Boston. He just didn't throw a ton of innings. But no one paid attention to him the same way that they used to.
Yeah, I think what you run into, I mean, you mentioned his usage in Kansas City. I mean, he threw 235 in his 1 year, 257, 260, 262. I mean, he was a horse for the Royals. And, you know, then in 1990, he started having arm troubles. And, yeah, it does get overlooked. But even once he left Kansas City, you know, he still had a 3.58 ERA. He still struck out the same number, you know, batters at the same rate, walked them at about the same rate, and his numbers don't look that much different other than innings, complete games, and things like that. So that's a great point as far as how he gets overlooked outside of Kansas City, where he won two Cy Young Awards.
I mean, he gets the average 100 fewer innings per season in his post-Royals career compared to what he did with the Royals. And a lot of that had to do with the injuries, and some of it was just changes in usage in general across the team.
Well, I was living out in Colorado, or spending my summers in Colorado, when he signed with the Rockies, and it was a huge deal that he was coming there. They sold it out that day. At the time, the Rockies were selling everything out anyways, but they sold that out, and I didn't take enough money for scalper tickets, so I ended up not getting to see Saberhagen's first start in Colorado, but that was by far his worst season there. But that guy, I mean, for not being known, like, nationally, I guess,
excitement in a town that was somewhat new to baseball like Colorado.
And he was only with the Rockies, I think, 1 year.
1 year, not many games, and then he got hurt.
Nine starts.
Yeah.
Just the entire 96 over, didn't he?
Yeah, but he did. It looks like in 95 he played for both the Mets and the Rockies, and then didn't play in 96 at all. And then, like you said, he played in parts of four seasons for the Red Sox between 97 and 2001.
Yeah, and he actually had a pretty good little stay in Boston other than his final year. But, you know, by that point, he was 37 and kind of worn down. But, you know, even as recently as 1994, he was still in the running for Cy Young Awards. Have you talked to Brett Sayring at all about any of this project or talked to him since he's left Boston?
No, some of the people who wrote essays actually talked to the players or talked to people who knew the players if they couldn't come into contact with them, but I didn't do that with Sayring.
And how were some of these names gathered? Did you approach the author and say, hey, who would you want to put up for nomination, or did you kind of start with the list of names and then kind of form those out to the writers?
We came up with a list that was probably 10 times bigger than what we were going to need, and pretty much told everyone, you know, that was Cisco Dirtstar, trying to pick somebody, you know, either incredibly interesting to you now or someone you have some kind of personal connection or story with, you know, about growing up, your fandom, anything like that. We wanted to kind of leave it up to the authors to create whatever story they wanted to, what came to them when they saw those players, names on the list. We didn't exactly want to tell them exactly, you know, just what to do, because we didn't want to have 40 essays that were all based on the same kind of ideas.
I mean, Craig Brown does Rusty Greer, let's see, Jay Jaffe does David Cohn. Poznanski does Dale Murphy. He's written extensively about Dale Murphy on his blog, if anybody reads that. I mean, this is a who's who, not only of named baseball stars, but this is also a who's who of baseball writers. Is this who's in your Rolodex, or how did you approach a lot of these tremendous authors to write for this project? What's the best way to get this? I think Sky had told me that this is going to be an ebook only, so you could probably get it at Amazon and a lot of those ebook retailers. Is that right?
No, we have a website. It's the name of the book, so it's hallofreallygreat.com. You can download it there in three different versions, and you get all three. So you'll get it as a PDF, which you need to read on your computer or tablet or anything like that. There's a version specifically for Kindles, and there's a version for all other e-books.
It's got quite a few connections to Kansas City in here, even though you kind of have to squint to see him. Lonnie Smith is one of them. Let's see, Greg Nettles, of course, Kansas City, and we'll know from his time with the Yankees. Daryl Porter, Moise Salou, who was the one I was seeing. Brent Sabering, obviously. Chuck Knobloch was the one I was taking a peek. He had a cup of coffee with the Royals towards the end of his career when he was going through that time. He couldn't throw from second to first. But I think the essay kind of goes to say, you know, just because of that, you can't discount the fact that he was a tremendous ball player in his prime.
Yeah, part of the reason that, you know, the kind of fall he had was so, you know, documented and paid attention to is because of how good he was before. Mm-hmm. You know, he wasn't just some guy that the Yankees threw a big contract after they traded for him. You know, he was one of the better players in baseball, and things just kind of fell apart for him at an early age.
Well, there's 43 of these essays, and I've gotten through about five of them so far, and they're fantastic, and you guys have done a tremendous work here, and I'm already looking forward to the Hall of Near the Great Part 2, which, you know, I'm sure you just get that with a big book project. You don't want to start thinking about something else, but... Absolutely. Well, it's a great project, and you know, if anybody likes years in writing and baseball. I mean, there's no better place to look than this collection of essays. It's hallofmarylandgreat.com. We can't thank you enough for being on the program. It's good luck with it, and we'll try to keep pumping it up. Thanks a lot, Mark. This has been the World Media Report. That was Mark Norman, and we'll be right back. Hi, this is Ned Lodell for Kelly's West 40. Summertime is here, and that means one thing. Your neighbor's cat takes over and craps in your garden. No, of course, I'm just joking. Summer also means my neighbor borrowing your boat trailer and driving it into Smithville Lake for mosquitoes, or your three-year-old drinking beer conditioning water. I guess what I'm saying here is that summer means different things to different people. And for 65 years, Skelly's Westport Inn has been a vacation for those summer problems ever since Randall Kelly poured his first frosty draft in 1947. 102 degrees and 99% humidity? Don't worry. Kelly's is air conditioned, and the drinks are as cold as ice. And when the heat breaks, Randall's rooftop is ready for you to kick back, where you can head downstairs for some of the best live music in town. Summer is different things to different people, but to everyone in Kansas City, Kelly's Westport is your summertime bar. On that note, for Kelly's Westport Inn, we'll leave the taps on for you. Jerry Sandusky, it covered Spider-Man and Batman, it
covered quite a bit of stuff. So it's going to be basically just kind of a general sports show, general, I don't know, new whatever is on our mind show. A lot like the Royal Man Report, except it's only going to have a small fraction of the Royals. So that is going to be recorded next Sunday. It's probably posting on Mondays here relatively soon at echonetwork.com, ekohnetwork.com. We're also going to start publishing exclusive content to echonetwork.com that is exclusive of the writings of all of us. So you can, on Echo Network, you're going to be finding our RSS writings of Michael Engel and myself and Jeff Herr and all the other podcasts on there. We're also going to start writing exclusively for it. We're going to do movie reviews. We're going to do all kinds of stuff. So look for that coming very, very soon. We're working on a website redesign, and hopefully we'll have that up very shortly. The podcast should post in the next day or two, so please look out for it. And we'll probably have it on iTunes soon, so rank us and review us, if you will. Thank you for your time.
And of course, that one thing to take note of is it will, it'll make people like our good friend Greg Grog on Twitter, it'll make him happy because this offseason you will have no Chiefs on the Roman Report. If we have 30 minutes of Rose to talk about, you're going to have a 30-minute show. If we have 90 minutes of Rose because Kevin Goldstein's on, you're going to get 90 minutes. But that was something that a lot of you gave us feedback that you just did not want to hear too much Chiefs and other talk on this show.
I like football, but I like the NFL more generally. So
we're going to lose Jeff from the show, which is sad in a way because he has been a big part of it.
Today it drives our forehand quotient way down.
Yeah, it really does.
He'll be back on for a couple of weeks until we get this thing up and rolling in iTunes, but then yeah, we'll probably
forehead above replacement. Suffering now.
Secret, we start saying, well, who are we going to get on the show? Because it's not really booked ahead of time. So we throw out like a big giant net, and normally we'll get one or two people, and, you know, we're not big enough to turn anybody away. So, like, all of like Thursday at noon, this net came in with all of these people. Everybody we asked signed up. And so, I mean, that's great because it turned out to be a fantastic show, I think. And I encourage you guys to go back into the archives at RoyalManReport.com and listen to it. It was sure fun to do, and it's nice to know that. The funniest part of this, I was explaining to my wife, is that I have this little throwaway question to the mayor. I said, you put on such a good party. Mayor, what are you going to do for the Royals pitching staff? And I'll be goddamned if he didn't spend the next 5 minutes explaining exactly what he would do for
the pitching staff.
That guy is not afraid to talk.
He knows his baseball.
We were watching the clock because that show. He got into a fight later on the next day with a bunch of Royals fans about something. But he was making very cognitive points, and it was great.
He's got my vote. I don't know if he can
clean gutter, fix the gutters and the sewers in this town. But man, he's a Royals fan, so he's a good guy.
Right, Manny had jumped on my feed and said, hey, why is everybody so down on the Royals for the second half? And even the mayor weighed in on that. So he's out there. I mean, you can find him out there. And he wasn't afraid to talk. Like, another little insight to that show is, of course, it's a radio show, which is hard for us to say. It's an actual radio show. And we can free flow with this show. That show, it's not really a high end. I think almost gave Shane a heart attack when you told him no last break. His eyes kind of got real.
The last break was just the end for us.
Yeah, fortunately, since the show is ours, we can do it. We have a little bit of freedom with it. But when we told Shane, our board op or producer, whatever you want to call it, a great guy over at 1510, he knew he was going to have his hands full. But obviously, there was no trivia. But Mike and Kurt going back and forth was kind of fun. Those two kind of took some interesting jabs on each other. Kurt giving Mike a hard time for being a smoker. And I don't remember what Mike said, but go back and listen to RoyalManReport.com and check it out live every Thursday from 6 to 7 p.m. on 1510.com. Quick shout out to Toy Toys Morning because I give it up for basketball quotes on Twitter. Chris Pione, or Pione, I think I always say his name wrong. I think he doesn't listen to me, so who cares? He is a great supporter of ours as far as telling people about us and stuff like that. He kind of was jabbing at Goldstein a little bit about his fedora. And so he threw down and told me to buy him drinks and stuff if you guys would come out. Next thing I know, the three of us ditched dates. Jeff and I and Mike all ditched dates with the owls that night.
There was some modest understanding, you guys.
Mine was rough, but Jeff was a little better. But yours actually shows up because Courtney's freaking awesome.
Well, she dropped me off at the bar.
But we get there, and what a surreal experience it was. Yeah, you got Goldstein, you got Parks, you got Joe Hirai, and then there's Steve Perfume, who I waited too long to talk to. I didn't want to walk in and say, hey, Perfume, you need to be on our show.
Yeah.
The next day, it was past Aaron, it was some of the other guys, too, that we met. But that night at the bar, there was just so many great writers. I don't know if those were Silver Beacon, but they were definitely an interesting breed in there.
They really were. And, if I had walked in without knowing that they weren't those people, that they were baseball prospectus guys, I wouldn't have been able to tell you if they were baseball writers or a garage band. Because, you're looking at guys in fedoras, you're looking at guys in the boardroom glasses, and, flannel, and all that stuff. I'm showing up in shorts and a white t-shirt. I'm just like, all right, whatever.
And Jason Parks, he's a player.
Yeah.
He had a whole table of ladies interested in him, and he's just recently single again, so good for him. But I asked him the next day, I said, Jason, and I went pretty well. He said, I should change tables and turn out better.
Sorry,
I would be Jason Parks. That dude hasn't figured out. I did forget to say that our good friends, Mr. and Mrs. Darby, along with Ian Reilly and Karen, I forget her Twitter handle, all made it out for the FC for Trixie, yes, all made it out for the 49 Stone show. So thank you to them, of course. And Lance and Jenny were in town, and I know they went to Harpo's and stuff for All-Star Week, so I didn't get a chance to hang out with them. unfortunately, but great, great fan of this show. We also had a great thing happen for our show, or a sponsor for our show. Fuhrer's World Burrito opened their Mission location. Check it out. It's right off of, like, 49th and Metcalf. That's up the exact address, but you'll see it off of Metcalf there. There's a great clip in the subway. And, of course, the two girlfriend over there for one of their openings where they donated all the money from that day to Harvesters.
Nice.
They raised $700 for Harvesters. Probably actually several thousand. I don't know the number that they asked us. I'm sure it's out there. You can follow them at Freebird. I think it's Freebirds KC on Twitter. But they had their opening. I took Megan there. She's a big Chipotle fan. Love Freebirds World Burrito. So they're going to be here in town for a while. Danny Duffy's favorite burrito place. That's how I found out about them. They are obviously a supporter of this show. I know we all hate the commercials, but it keeps us going. It allows us to keep equipment. It buys us business cards. It allows things like what happened with BP to actually happen because it's a lot of family here. It takes money to do this, and fortunately for us, we got Kelly's and Freebirds to help. So there is a Freebird opening in Westport, I believe, next month. And if you didn't camp out for this one and you really want free burritos for a year, the first 25 people at the opening get free burritos. So hopefully stay tuned for details here. Hopefully I will buy advertising and continue to be part of the Royal Mayor Report. But if not, this will be a grand salute to them. And we had a great month with them, and we hope that they continue to be a partner. But if not, I will still be eating it. They're great people. They're a lot of fun. It's kind of like a make-your-own burrito place, whereas Chipotle is very, you go and you
want to have options. You got this.
You get two kinds of beans, two kinds of rice. If you don't want beans, you don't want rice. That's fine. And then they have like 22 toppings you can put on there. They have four kinds of tortillas. They have four sizes. I don't think they have gummy bears, but lots of stuff out there. We've never really talked about them because we really didn't know what they were. First one in Kansas City. We have the ad with the information they've given us, but I had a chance to go to there. Great people, super nice. You can get margaritas. It's a really good place. So.
And
they were doing a margarita Super Bowl the other day.
Which awesome. That's a good idea. That's like 50 cent beer night.
Right. They raised burritos on our Thursday burritos. They raised money on Monday for the Susan G. Komen Foundation. I went Monday night before I went out to the home run derby and carry with me to the K. And Tuesday, went back with the girlfriend, and they were raising money for Harvesters that day. So we love them, and I hope they continue to be a partner. If not, we wish them well because they are a great company with great people. So please, please, please check them out. Now that I'm done selling
goods, now that we're done with the housekeeping,
we talked about Thursday's show. Chris, where do you want to go next? Is it me or Mike?
I can't get the video to pop up on KCTV. All I can get is the picture. Solid. I refreshed it several times. I'll try to get it on.
I was on what we're talking about. If you're watching on YouTube, or if you're watching on YouTube, you're not watching us live on SalvationSunday.com. But there was a. I'm on fire.
Fans that hasn't seen that team in the postseason. Engel is one of the lucky ones.
actually remembers the 1985 World Series, if only barely. Four 100 loss seasons in 5 years, trading away popular stars like Johnny Damon, Zach Greinke, Carlos Beltran, no improvement for years. Only the most faithful fans have survived. Again, Michael Engel.
It feels like the world has been rebuilding since about 1995. And every year, it's like a three-year plan. And it never comes around. It's almost like being in Stalinist Russia.
Yeah, I thought my favorite part in that was again, Michael Engel. You ever notice how he
did that? It's so like all guys consider
such an NPR.
That's a nice thing. Brought to you by Jeremy Bernfield, who is a very cool guy. I mean, he's a baseball fan. When we weren't recording, we were just kind of, the Home Run Derby just started on one of those segments while we were recording, so we just watched a little bit of that, so that was pretty cool.
It was funny because it was such a NPR piece.
Oh, yeah, that's totally
it. It sounds good.
You and I are never going to be NPR voices.
I can guarantee
it. No, I don't know.
Biggest fan of
the podcast now.
Jeff definitely could be.
With all things considered.
But you and I have
been on a while in public radio.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's
wow.
Troy,
tonight, Olson.
Bird warplanes. I could do the Troy balls.
We've already tried
that. Okay, look on my video.
Yeah, it's working.
All right, let's go to that.
So I was on TV.
I was actually
on E5. I think it was like the fourth time on there.
Matt Stewart loves me.
He loves me. He was the beginning of the first interview.
When
the
interview
was when I was taped up.
Right. He had the first interview with me ever when I first started doing the costume. He's not so funny for that. I'm pretty sure about to see if you're watching at RobertReport.com or on YouTube. They actually invited me out to do the show live at 4:30 a.m. with Kevin Kelly. And she is this beautiful person. She is a big
one. The first couple minutes of that, you looked like shit.
Literally,
I was just crying.
You looked like it was 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I mean, I had out the night before at the All-Star game.
No,
I had the Home Run Derby. And so my voice was about this bad. Because we were around the season and everything.
That was fun. And we don't have any of that with us. But check out this piece that. It's about a minute long, and the video is really cool. I really give it up to KC35, a great station. And
I'm a fan of Corny. This bumps just for you.
Only thousands of people in the parking lot grueling, laughing, excited about the game. But only one man shows his pride in striking fashion. His mild mannered Troy Olson becomes the Royal Man, a superhero whose power is to will the Royals to win. Only hasn't been working well lately.
Haven't been winning at all, really, since we started doing this.
But that doesn't stop Troy from putting on his brand new $175 super suit for every home game. For the past 2 years, Troy wore a different costume, but it wore down and started looking ratty. So he replaced it with this: a new logo, new pants, a new cape, with the same tights and same white wrestling boots.
I like doing it because I'm kind of a silly guy, because I like to have fun. This has been great fun. And it's a great way to come to the game. Haters are going to hate. That's always going to be out there. But the great thing is there are some really awesome people in Kansas City.
Being a super fan, Troy wouldn't dare miss the All-Star game.
I'm just excited to be able to say, to go home and put that ticket in a frame and say, I was there, I was part of it. This was something special.
He plans to wear the costume tonight, despite his girlfriend's protests.
She's like, I can't believe you're going to, you got several $100 for the tickets and you're still going to wear the outfit when you could just go and blend in. But, life's not about blending in, life's about, stepping ahead.
Royal Man has a message for you. Enjoy tonight's game, because it might be a while before baseball's best come back to KC.
That's great. They get a Matt Stewart on KC35.
All the great people are there. Chris Courtney.
And the producer and she looks really big. Her desk is across from Matt Stewart's.
Oh.
Yeah, they had some good last night, and she saw the original cut of that.
Yeah.
And was only like,
the spin of the front.
This might be the best part.
It might be the best
thing that anybody has ever filmed with me in my life.
That's why
you are like a loyal Batman, and you can have like the best cow.
Don't talk
with you. That interview was an hour long.
Yeah.
long, so it's going to
be exactly about 5 seconds of content.
Yeah.
It was pretty much just Mark Gordon saying, I'd say we're hanging good. That's it. A lot of people on the world.
Oh, yeah, that's fantastic. So, and after that, let's go ahead and transition to Mike. You weren't too happy with the way that certain national media members reacted to the booing of Ron Zucconelli.
I mean, to set it up for everybody, I'm sure everybody knows this. If you're, you know, listening to us, you're probably have heard the Ron Zucconelli stuff. You know, doesn't go so far as to promise, but he says on two different occasions that he's going to put a Royal in the Home Run Derby. Doesn't. You know, he gets up there Monday night at the Home Run Derby. Everybody boos him. You know, nothing really mean-spirited about it. Not really anything besides just having fun with it. He's laughing about it. Everybody in the stands is laughing about it. You know, and then it kind of takes on a life of its own. He, you know, fouls the first pitch back, and it's pretty much... It's off to the race at that point, because every time you meet it out, then everybody starts cheering a little more, and they boo a little bit more. And so, you know, it's blown out of proportion later that night by some, and these are all national writers, who, you know, were questioning why fans were booing in the first place. And then it kind of the next morning, there was still some in words like vicious, classless, things like that were thrown around. And, you know, that wasn't the spirit of the booing. It was the idea that he had said that a Royal was going to be in it, and he didn't put a Royal in. You know, it didn't need to go past that. And all any of these writers needed to do was ask, you know, why are you booing? Why is this what's happening? And they would have a much better story. It turned into this kind of judgment of Kansas City as low class, inferiority complex, things like that, where, you know, we're booing because he's a Yankee and because we thought that Billy Butler was a more deserving person than, you know, Mark Trumbo or Prince Fielder or any of those. And you know what? Yeah, you guys know what to do. Well, yeah, and that's another thing is, you know, they've spit on people, they've spit on family members of others, and they boo Chase Utley for no reason, and it just gets a pass. You know, we put to those family, we're bad people. You know, and I've heard one report of that, and it went nowhere. I didn't hear anything from the family. I haven't seen anything besides one guy saying it. So, you know, I think it was a little bit of a cheap shot to just, you know, beat on Kansas City for that. You know, we're just having fun with something that we're passionate about. We're trying to show support for our guy in our stadium. And it gets turned around into this thing that, you know, we're just booing because, you know, we're not the same people that the fans that they have in New York or Philadelphia or whatnot.
I hear a little bit of this.
Yeah.
Well, we're all there. I mean, it's it was certainly, I agree. I think it's almost like if you weren't there, shut the hell up. You know, you had to understand what was going on a couple of days before that, a couple of months before that. That
yeah,
was, there were a lot of people that hung their hat on that.
Yeah, it was early June.
Right, it was 1 month before that, and when he was named the captain, and
yeah,
it was just, I don't know, if you weren't there, shut up. And that includes, you know, the Jeff Passons of the world that just don't seem to understand.
Yeah, and it's just, I don't know. I mean, national writers, for a lot of times, they get a lot of stuff right, but it just seemed like they got their narrative, they put it in there, and they went with it. And
it passes from here. That's the worst part.
Yeah. So I just didn't agree with that approach. I didn't think it was a complete story, and I really think that if the same event had been had in Los Angeles or Texas or any of the same circumstances, I don't think you would have seen it the same way. It's just that, you know, Kansas City hasn't been a winner since 1985, and it's really easy to pick on us. And this was, you know, a chance for Kansas City fans to take ownership. I mean, I haven't seen that many people in Royals gear.
Yeah, cool.
I mean, I just really haven't. I mean, it's maybe like opening days. But, you know, just for a random day in July, you don't see that. And, you know, this is where people have traveled in. You get all these people from Kansas City that are right there representing, and, you know, it just, you know, that was kind of a tarnish on the whole thing. But, you know, in the end, it's not the biggest deal. I mean, it's just, you know, they have to go with a story. They have to go with something that's going to get people
successful futures game, that it was the most successful home run derby, that everybody from Major League Baseball raved about the city. You know, they didn't like the building, whatever. And in retrospect, I kind of wish it wouldn't have done it, only because I think it put a damper on the city that it, I don't want us to be remembered for that.
Yeah, I do. I wish it wouldn't have been on Tuesday. That was, I think, Monday. It could have just cut off right there.
Yeah.
Fine, we said our thing. But I think, you know, there's probably a good element of people that saw it on SportsCenter and said, oh, they were building yesterday and maybe didn't know anything about it because it wasn't told to them.
And, like, David,
and so they figured we just have to, oh, we're ruining Robinson for the whole day.
So, like, the 3046 said in the chat room, you know, it was us winning at something. But what people are missing is on Tuesday, Jeter got a huge ovation. CeCe got a movie. I don't know where that came from. That was just, I don't know. People not liking CeCe. Granderson got a pretty good ovation. So it wasn't like hating on the Yankees thing.
Yeah.
You know, Tipper Jones has probably got an ovation up in Atlanta.
I actually, part of this might be my fault.
Oh, he's got the fight.
So at the, yeah, part of this might be me. So after the home run derby, this happened. Let me see, let me pipe it up a little bit. This happened right.
This is part of the fight, too.
This happened right after the home run where we were sitting.
Why are you just going to put in some pets on Kung Fu fighting underneath of this?
Yeah.
Because there was some crazy stuff going on in the stands.
Yeah, there's a couple of videos I have to where I haven't put them up. Yeah, I haven't tied most of them all together. But that was basically it. That guy took them. And the guy, I know there, he got his ass kicked. And he got beat up pretty bad. He was the white hat in the whole thing. It wasn't his fault. Anyway,
you throw that out there and it's not hard to be
late. The second I got internet access again, I put it out there and it ended up on a big lead. It ended up on a couple other places. That video now has 62,000 hits.
You ended up on USA Today
under the title "Why are Kansas City so mad?" Well, you couple that plus the building of Cano, I may have changed the national story.
Years of maybe in Minneapolis, and I'm already trying to buy.
Dan Glass has put in for the 2014 All-Star game. So, go Dan Glass!
See.
the game pretty easily consistently. So, but you struck out three in two innings. You didn't walk anybody. You gave up just that one hit, one run. So that's his fastball. He said had a really good amount of life on it. Some movement was working about 95. So, you know, he's probably not going to get too far this year. Might make two more starts in Arizona, and then he'll play. I think in Kane County is where they're going to send him next. So, you know, he might get five starts at that level. But, you know, that puts him in a spot next year to maybe be in Wilmington.
Well, he's going to be fun to watch for another couple of years at least, since we can't watch anything for a little, I guess. You know, just also, Kenny did say, you know, her kids, they went to one of the games this weekend, and man, they can't stop talking about it. It's the greatest experience that they've had in a long time, and it is. I love the game, don't get me wrong, and I'm going to miss a bunch of games this week because of catching up from the last week. I mean, I invested, so
all of us invested a lot of time
and money, and so now I'm, you know, making up for it with the girlfriend and work and roller derby and everything else. And I think it was a quick plug, because you don't need enough of those. If you're learning anything next Sunday, head over to Riverside. It's on it.
What if they're listening to our podcast?
Well, then they can do that. Now you can get into the rink. And they'll bring your laptop, you can get into the rink. But anyways, at 6 o'clock, we do a roller derby match. It's the last kind of semifinal setup for our roller derby girls on the Big Girl Derby. You can find them on Facebook at Big Girl Derby. But we have, I'm the announcer, I've been an announcer for 3 years now. And it's a lot of fun, and it's a good time. So come on to
it. Wait a second. Hang on. I'm going to stop you there. You're the head announcer.
So that would mean that
I think there's some sort of cast system.
There's two of us.
Amongst the announcers.
We're getting scrapped your way.
The other one does the other announcer, like, carry your deer or your sandwich.
Yeah, you're right. You're saying you don't want to be like, snap some fingers or anything.
Hey, non-head announcer, come to me.
Anyways, I think you're another real man of genius.
For a long period of time. Okay, we were out for a good 6-7. I flipped an A.
Oh, nice.
The whole Bizarro World, man. You were wrong, man. They just took it off. I ended up in jail, and I ended up in jail pretty much every day this weekend. So, that's how I got out of bed. You know, it is what it is. But yeah, follow Michael Engel on Twitter. That's Tim Collin. And Freddie Engel. Call him ahead if you want to hear about my derby, my Rolex stuff. And we know your stuff. Let's roll out of here.
Yeah, I'm done.
What is this?
I was trying to get that on a prayer, but I got the wrong word.
It sounds like you guys went back from All Star Week that we haven't already said. It was fun. No, I know, man. It was great. That's a lot. That is a lot to do. Man, I can't wait to do it for a World Series. Kansas City, we love you guys. You guys were awesome. I cannot wait, like you said, for playoffs and World Series. For the Derby 36, for Nick Cameron, for all of the folks on our Twitter accounts, our chat room. Thanks again, all of you. For Jeff Rowe, who can't be here, check out EchoNetworks.com for all of your sports needs going forward. Kings of Compton for all your baseball needs. We're open here every Sunday from 7 to 8 p.m. for days from 5 from 6 to 7 on 1510.com. Check me out. We're only on KCTV5. And until before next week, I just like Casey Rowe. I'm just gonna be like, we're out here.